Good afternoon to everybody. Glad to see all those that can make it out this afternoon. Moving on to our lesson this afternoon, I was given an open topic, and I think open topics are great because they allow you the freedom to talk about whatever you want. If you want to do a simpler lesson, or if you want to dive deep into a really hard topic to cover, it's up to you. That's the great thing about having an open topic. However, the bad thing about having an open topic is sometimes it's harder to think of something to talk about than it is to actually write a lesson and give a lesson and preach about something. What I mean by that is, sometimes, for me at least, I struggle with coming up and narrowing things down with the Bible. There are so many different stories, so many different prophecies, anything that you can preach about, and I have trouble sometimes narrowing that down into what I want to talk about. However, tonight, luckily for me, I relieved myself of that burden, and I asked someone else what I should talk about tonight, and one of the brightest young minds that I can think of, I asked them last week, and as request of Jake, he wanted to hear a lesson tonight about Daniel's vision of the four beasts. So, we're going to have a lesson about Daniel's vision of the four beasts, but before we go any further, we got the opportunity to go to God in order first. The story of Daniel's troubling vision, or his dream, takes place in Daniel chapter 7, and so that's where we'll be spending a lot of our time tonight. And so just to start off, I wanted to get a little backstory as to, or a little insight as to what Daniel was going through. So, just Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Daniel 7 and 1 reads, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirred up by the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. And so, while sleeping, Daniel had a bad dream. He had a nightmare, some might call it. And the Bible says it was one that really troubled Daniel. It gave him some trouble. It troubled him so much so that whenever he woke up, he immediately decided to write these things down so he could later ask what the meanings were, what the interpretation of this dream was. Whenever I would always read this story, I was always not really confused as to this part, but I always thought that he would do something a little different. What I mean by that is, the Bible says, and make sure to mention that this dream is a very troublesome dream to Daniel. And so the way I always thought of it, if this dream was so troublesome, if this was such a bad dream, I mean, I feel like it would be easy to remember that. It would be hard to forget, I would think. You see these four beasts coming up out of the sea, that would be an image that would be hard to erase from my brain. But when I got to thinking about it, that's not really how the human brain works. And whenever I was sitting there writing this, I just got to thinking about my own personal life, my own personal dreams. And in my 20 years of living, I can only recall one dream that I've ever had. And it was a nightmare I had. You know, I had it when I was a little kid. Poisonous frog had escaped from a zoo enclosure and got out. And so that was on a TV episode that I watched. And later that night, that episode scared me so much that poisonous frog followed me into my dream, chased me around the house, and right as he was about to get me, I woke up in a frightened terror. I was drenched in sweat. I didn't know what to do. I mean, that was my nightmare. And I guess it scared me so much that that's the only dream I can remember to this day. And I got to think about it a little more. I dream all the time. Everyone dreams. But immediately, as soon as I wake up, I'll think to myself, that was a pretty good dream. What did I dream exactly? As soon as you wake up, that dream is gone from your memory. And that is actually something that occurs to lots of people. And so I did a little research. I am going to be completely honest. My understanding of this is very, very small. There was lots of large scientific words that I could barely pronounce, let alone understand what they mean. But if my understanding is correct, your brain sort of works like a computer. When you're working on your laptop or working during the day, you are obviously active on your laptop. Whenever you're done with your laptop, you're ready to put it up for the night, you will shut it down, or some laptops have what they call a sleep mode. You put it in sleep mode, that way it's turned off, but if your laptop needs to update over the night, or if it needs to charge or do something, it can still do those things over the night, but it's not active. And your brain sort of works the same way. Obviously, when you're awake, your brain is very alert, it's very active. And when you go to sleep, your brain is not as alert and not as active, but it is still somewhat active. So certain parts of the brain are still working. Now that is pretty easy for me to understand, pretty easy for me to comprehend, but this is where my understanding of this, what I read, stops. Because after this, it starts getting into different lobes of the brain, and the one lobe of the brain is working and it's firing when you're sleeping, and this other one's not, and the hippocampus is responsible for memory, and they're not communicating during the sleep cycle because one of them's turned off, so that's why you can't remember dreams. It was very confusing, but my main point of that is dreams, most people tend to not remember dreams, and so when you wake up, you had either a bad dream or a good dream, and you try to think to yourself, what exactly happened in that dream, even a couple seconds after you awake, you can't remember it. And so that is why when Daniel woke up from his dream, he decided to write things down. Another thing that I would like to point out is that this was no ordinary dream that Daniel dreamed of. Whenever we dream, we dream. You know, our dreams can be very specific. Our dreams can be very random. I know there's lots of jokes going around where some people dream and they either dream about a person or they dream about a vacation. They dream about going somewhere. They have very specific dreams. And then there's other people that have completely random dreams. Michael Jordan is handing them a meatball sandwich inside of Mr. Bean's car. I mean, you can just go on and on. Just the most random things can occur in your dreams. Because our dreams are random or sometimes very specific. My point being, Daniel's dream was not simply just a dream. This was a vision of the future that was to come. And so, diving into the details of this vision that Daniel occurred, verse 4, it tells us the dream. So Daniel, chapter 7, verse 4, reads, and this is talking about the beast. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said, thus to it arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. This beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, and exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in place pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. And so, when you look at this dream, if it's your first time hearing this dream might sound scary and a little confusing. However, when you really look into it, it's got a very simple and easy to understand interpretation. These 4 beasts are not magical creatures that are going to one day walk the earth and terrorize humanity. That's not what's going on here. These beasts are symbolic, and they are symbolic for 4 future kingdoms or kings that would reign over or take control over the known world at that time. The first beast, as it said in the Bible, a beast that was like a lion. It had eagle's wings. These wings were plucked off, and this beast was lifted from the earth and made to stand on 2 legs. And this first beast, is symbolic of the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon was one of the first major powers during this time. It was one of the first kingdoms to take control and conquer many, many lands. They were ruled by many famous kings, their most famous being King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Babylonians were a fierce and powerful kingdom, and they were feared among many at that time. In Jeremiah chapter 51, proclaiming the destruction of Babylon. They were there to be destroyed shortly after their rise to power. But this, in Jeremiah 51, starting in verse 36, it's talking about their destruction. So, Jeremiah chapter 51, starting in verse 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feast. I will make them drunk, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. So this first beast that is mentioned is the beast that's like a lion, and it is symbolic of the kingdom of Babylon. They would conquer, they would take control. King Nebuchadnezzar would lead them. He would be a very powerful king. He would lead Babylonians to rise of power throughout the nation, throughout the land at the time. But as it was foretold in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 51, that nation, that kingdom, would eventually fall. They would be slaughtered. They would sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake. And so, moving on to our second beast mentioned in this vision. This beast is the beast like a bear. The Bible said that this bear was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth. And so this beast is also symbolic of another very powerful country at this time. The kingdom or empire known as Medo-Persian Empire, or as we commonly refer to it as the Medes and the Persians. According to history, the Medes and the Persians ruled jointly. They combined forces and they ruled jointly, with the Medes being slightly stronger at first. However, as time went on, the Persians rose to be a much stronger part of the kingdom, and they ended up being more powerful, more forceful than the Medes. And that is where the depiction of a bear being raised on one side comes from. As one side of this joint army was much stronger than the other, so was the side of the bear raised higher than the other. Another important aspect in Daniel's vision, the Bible mentions that this bear had three ribs in its mouth. And this vision, or this image painted by the Bible, is also symbolic of three countries or kingdoms, empires, whatever you want to call it, that the Medes and the Persians devoured or that they conquered. The biggest and most well-known kingdom that they conquered was the former powerhouse the former beast they conquered. They were the kingdom that conquered Babylon. All of Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians. In Isaiah chapter 13, this again is a proclamation to Babylon, the Bible says, starting in verse 17, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch their tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there, but wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged." So this first beast, the lion, a very powerful beast, but as it was foretold in the Bible, this beast was going to be destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. And it said earlier that there's three ribs in its mouth. According to history, the other two major conquerors, the other two ribs in the mouth of the bear, they were supposed to be Egypt and Lydia. Those were two countries that the Medes and Persians conquered. And so, moving on to our third beast, we have the beast like a leopard. A beast, according to the Bible, that had four wings on its back and four heads, as dominion was given to it. So once again, this beast is very symbolic of a power and empire that took control at this time. And this beast is symbolic of Greece, or the Greek Empire, who rose to fame and rose to power very, very quickly. And like a leopard is very swift, the Greeks were very swift when they conquered their foes. It didn't take them long to rise to power. They were famously led by their very remarkable and memorable leader, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, in such a few short years, he was able to lead the Greek Empire to their status, their power. He was able to conquer many, many nations. And it said that their reign, or Alexander the Great's reign, lasted for about 13 years. So in just a little short span of time, when you look at history, he was able to conquer many nations. One of which was the former powerhouse, the Medes and the Persians. However, Alexander the Great's reign did not last long, as he died very, very young. He died at the young age of 33. And so, after Alexander the Great's passing, this is where that part about the beast having four heads, that is also prophesied as whenever Alexander the Great passed, he decided to split his empire into four sections, each one for his own general. Now, I am probably going to butcher these names, but his generals were Ptolemy, Seleucus, Lysimachus, and Cassander. Definitely butchered those names, but those were the four generals that the kingdom was split between, and those were the four heads that this leopard, this beast, had at the symbolic of the four heads. There isn't much mention of the Greek Empire, this Alexander the Great's empire, in the Bible, but it was foretold in just a few chapters prior to the one we're reading out of right now. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the dream about the image with the head made of fine gold, the chest and arms made of silver, belly and thighs made of bronze, the legs made of iron, and the feet made of clay, that's in Daniel chapter 2. So Daniel chapter 2 in verse 39, this is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. But after you arise another kingdom inferior to yours, which we already covered was the Medes and Persians, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And that third kingdom was the kingdom of the Greek Empire, the Greek Empire. And another point I want to mention, in verse 39, when they're talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, another kingdom, a kingdom that is inferior to you, will follow you. And I always thought that was interesting, because according to history, and a lot of historians will agree, that the Medes and Persians were inferior to the Babylonians in a lot of different ways. They had inferior wealth, but the one thing that they did have better than the Babylonians was they had a much stronger army. And that is the reason that they were able to conquer the Babylonians, because their army was much stronger. And finally, we move on to our last beast in this vision, in Daniel's vision. And now this beast is a little different from the others, as this beast has no comparison. The first beast was a beast like a lion. The second beast was a beast like a bear. The third beast was a beast like a leopard. In the Bible, this beast, it says this beast was the worst, was worse than all the other ones. According to the Bible, the beast had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking into pieces, and trampling with its feet. This beast was more powerful, it was more fierce than all the others, it was worse than all the other beasts that was mentioned before. And this beast is symbolic of the Roman Empire, a power that at the time crushed all of its foes, and it reigned for many, many years with a powerful army, a large supply of weapons, and at this time the smelting of iron had become, they had used it for many, many years, so they were able to, not, I don't want to say perfect it, but they were able to really master the skill of smelting iron into weapons. So iron weapons were used commonly throughout the Roman Empire. So with their very powerful army, large supply of weapons, large supply of wealth, and with many great leaders, this empire was able to reign for many, many years. Depending on who you ask, some people will say the Roman Empire lasted about 500 years. Some people say about 1,000. Some people say nearly 1,500, just depending on who you ask. Some people consider the Roman Empire to be established earlier than others do. But nonetheless, the Roman Empire was a very powerful kingdom that reigned for a long time. And once again, this kingdom was foretold in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2. So we were reading Daniel chapter 39, skipping one verse later. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 reads, "And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others." The Roman Empire was a very powerful kingdom. It was a kingdom that ruled for many, many years and crushed many, many foes. It was also a kingdom that eventually fell, as was foretold in the Bible. And so, looking at this story has always been an interesting story to me, and it's always been one of my favorites because it's easy to follow. But another thing that makes this story very interesting to me is that it's very common knowledge. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times with history stories and stories of our past, there tends to be lots of different ways you hear the story, because there's always two sides to every story. And depending on who you hear that story from, you might get a different interpretation of said story. So that's one reason why you sometimes might hear a different story. Another reason, just stories are passed down from generation to generation, they tend to get changed, altered a little bit. We used to play a game in high school. I don't really understand why we did it, but we played it, and it was a game where everyone would sit down crisscross applesauce in a line. And so the person in the back would draw on the back of the person. They would draw a shape. So they might draw a house with the sun in the corner and with little blades of grass in front of the house. And so the person who was having their back drawn on was supposed to then repeat that process. They were supposed to draw the exact same picture of what they felt on the person in front of them. And so the person in the back, they are drawing a house with the sun and little blades of grass in the front of the house. But by the time you get to the end of that line, you might have something completely different. And that's just how things work. As stories get passed on from generation to generation, they tend to get altered a little bit or changed in some detail, some specific way. So as stories get altered, or if you just hear the same story from two different people, a lot of stories about our past, a lot of stories about our history tend to kind of coincide with, or not coincide with each other, they tend to vary. But one of the amazing things about this story is that it is pretty well known, pretty agreed on by historians, by lots of people who study the past of humanity, that this story is symbolic. These four beasts are symbolic. The beast of the lion is symbolic of Babylonians. The beast of the bear is symbolic of Medes and Persians. The beast of the leopard is symbolic of the Greek Empire. And the final beast, the worst beast, is symbolic of the Roman Empire, who was worse than all the other ones, and who was more fierce and more powerful than the other three before it. But that concludes my thoughts for this evening. I hope something I said was beneficial. I know Jake wanted to hear a lesson about the four beasts, and it had been a while since I've heard a lesson about the four beasts, and it's always been a favorite story of mine, so I thought I would just give a little overview of this story. But now we can stand and sing the song of attention.